All right, let's get into it. Let me make sure you're ready. Someone say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay, that was about half. Somebody say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right, let's go here. Let's go here. We're here over in the Summer of Impact. And again, the Summer of Impact is just really these series of messages that we've designed to really stimulate our lifestyle of faith. While we take into account really kind of the four focuses that the Spirit of God has us particularly focused in on here in 2023 and beyond. And that's the sense of movement, mission, multiplication, and miracles. The apostle, or the writer here really in Acts chapter 17, and it's the apostle Paul, you know, speaking, Luke records it. Verse 28, he says this, for in him we live and move and exist. Someone say that with me. Say, in God,
I live,
I move, and I exist. It's in God that we live. It's in God that we move. It's in God that we exist. Now, I'm going to mess with you a little bit this morning. Are you ready? I like to mess with you. We don't move in our culture. We don't live in our ethnicity. We don't exist in these natural things. These are the expressions in the vehicles that God has given us to reflect him with. It's in him that we live. It's in him that we move. It's in him that we exist and have our being. We talked about the fact that movement is the act of faith to continuously adjust, shift, and relocate in line with God's word, instruction, or prompting. If you weren't here on last week, I would encourage you to take some time, go to our website, our app, look at last week's message so that you can put it together with this. Because if you never learn how to move with God, you will be lost. It's not enough. Listen, it's not enough to say, Jesus, I surrender to you. That's nice. That's great. That's the starting point. But if your surrender then evolves over into stagnation, you've missed the experience that God is looking for you to have. There's this constant movement. Say it with me, movement. Last week, we were looking at how the children of Israel in particular refused to move with God. Now, I'm of the opinion, and again, it's my opinion, that all of us and everyone has had difficulty moving with God at some point and at some time. I know I have. I won't speak for you, but I just did. Because I think all of us have experienced this. But then last week we looked at how if you stay stuck in that place, your non-movement becomes what I kind of, you know, describe as anti-movement. And what God actually called rebellion and idolatry. Says that now you've taken this active stance against me. You're actually now, you know, either kind of secretly, privately, or maybe even openly saying that I'm wrong. And you're doing the things that you want to do to worship yourself. And listen, can we be candid? We've been very crafty as human beings. We've learned how to use, you know, the Bible and God's word to worship ourselves. That's not what God has called us for, and that's not why God gave us his word. Movement is the act of faith to continuously adjust, continuously shift, continuously relocate in line with God's word, instruction, or prompting. Now, here's the critical point. Please get this right up front. The attitude of movement is a deep reverence and awe for God's word. The attitude of movement. If you're going to move with God, you have to have this attitude of deep reverence and awe for God's word. If you don't respect and revere scripture, you will never be able to consistently move with God. If you don't respect and just really have a great reverence for God's word. And I'm talking about Holy Scripture. And I'm talking about specifically now 66 books. Genesis to Revelations, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Someone said, what about the lost books? They were never lost. They just never measured up. They've always been there. We've always known about them. So I'm talking about these 66. You have to have a deep respect for Scripture. And listen, unfortunately, we've allowed to some degree our sense of personal experience to dominate now God's word. So now, if this thing kind of worked for me or kind of feels a certain way for me, then we find a way then to make God's word subservient to that. When the standard of living still is, come on now, yield to God's word. Remember, we talked about this on last week, you know, where the church has done a great job now in the last few decades in particular of becoming very kind of attractive and making us all very comfortable. But the reality is the gospel is anything but comfortable. And God is looking for us to move. Matter of fact, God needs for us to be uncomfortable so that we move. You know how it is. When you get uncomfortable, you can't sit still. When you're uncomfortable, it's just like, you know, you got to get up, you know, you got to get moving, because that's what uncomfort begins to do with you. Discomfort begins to do, you know, to you. That's what God is looking to drive us into, this place of discomfort. Keep this in mind, too, when it comes to this reverence for God's word. To attempt to move with God without the guidance of Scripture is reckless and dangerous. Now, we've had a lot of movement without the guidance of Scripture, without this reverence for God's word. I remember listening to a particular person's testimony, and it's their testimony. I get it. And their testimony, as they have a particular, I guess, channel or something, it's a woman, where she, you know, strips naked on the internet. And she says, the Lord told me to do this. I said, huh. So I'm curious now. I'm curious. Says, the Lord told you to do this. So I began to research. I ain't looking at no pictures, ladies and gentlemen. I began to research. Come on now. Come on. Stay with me. I began to research. What is this woman thinking? And she begins to talk about, you know, her particular experience as a child, that she believes she had a vision of Jesus, and from there, you know, how she begins to live for Jesus. And then she makes the statement, says, I don't do the church thing and none of that stuff. You know, I just have my own relationship. So what she really communicated to me in that moment is, see, I don't have a sense of reverence for God's word. There's no reverence there. I just simply do whatever it is I'm led to do. And you have a whole lot of that's going on today. Whole lot of this sense of, well, we just do whatever it is that we feel like doing. Amen. Stay focused. They'll get it worked out. So now, notice what Job says. Because remember, we can learn a whole lot of lessons from individuals. We learn a whole lot, praise God. Job chapter 23, verse 12 says this. I have not gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed and treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Let me read that again. I have not gone back from the commandment of his lips, Job said. I have esteemed, come on now, I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job says here, listen, what God's word to me is more valuable than anything that I could eat. God's word to me is more significant than any of these things that may go on, you know, in terms of, you know, what's set before me. I would rather miss a meal than miss God's word. That's Job's mindset here. Why? Because he has this reverence, this esteem, this deep sense of awe for God's word. You and I can never consistently move effectively with God without that sense of your reverence and awe. And this is what God is looking for us to have. Now, we looked at the example of the children of Israel last week. I want to give you a couple of examples, you know, today of how to move with God. Are you ready? Say yes.
Yes.
The first example I'm going to give you, though, is from, you know, what I call a faithful follower of God. It's from the prophet Elijah. So for many, that's, you'll be able to identify that. Like, you know what? I go to church. You know, I follow God, you know, so forth. Okay, good. Here's an example of someone moving with God. We begin here in 1 Kings, chapter 17, verse 1 through 6, I'll begin. It says, now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, the God I serve, There will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Did you hear what Elijah said there? He says, there's not going to be any rain and so forth until I give the word. He ain't saying until God give the word. Until I give the word. You know, a lot of times, watch this, and I know people mean well when they say this, and they'll say, well, God has the final word. Yeah. God's already spoken, you know, his word. The issue is, what will your word be? Yeah. All right. We'll come back to that at a later date. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. Oh, glory. Here, I want to give you several points now about how we move with God. Here's the first one. Movement is obedience to instruction. Now, I'm just using the word obedience because it conveys what I need for it to convey until I can explain further what I mean by it. But movement is the sense of obedience to instruction. And listen, instruction comes explicitly through God's word, subtly by his spirit, or representatively from his messengers. Those are really the three core ways that instruction comes from God. Explicitly from his word, subtly by his spirit, or representatively from his messengers. Those are the dominant ways that instruction comes. And if we're going to move with God, we have to learn how to now be obedient to the instruction that comes our way. Now, I use the word obedience, but here's how I want you to understand it. It's really more than obedience. See, because you can obey and not believe something. You can obey because, you know, that's what I was told to do. I'm just going to do it, but I don't know why I got to do it. I'm going to do it, but I don't really want to do it. Come on, anybody ever been there before? Yeah. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about this being more than obedience. It's an activity that arises out of a conviction. It's this thing that on the inside of you that says, now I have to do this. And everybody else is saying, why are you doing that? It doesn't take all of that. You look crazy and you're just like, yeah, but I believe. Now, this is what God has for me. So I take the steps and I do it. That's what we're talking about here. The sense of movement is obedience to instruction, learning how to get what God says. Notice what happened with Elijah. Elijah gives this, you know, pronouncement, you know, to the king. And then after that, God says, now I want you to get up and I want you to go. I want you to get up and I want you to go. What does Elijah do? He gets up and he goes. But he gets up and goes not just simply out of blind obedience. He gets up and goes because he knows he has a good, good father and he can trust him. There's this conviction on the inside that even if I don't understand it, watch this. Listen. Let's put this in modern terms. If now you believed you got a message from God that told you to quit your job, go stand at the corner of Pines Boulevard and University Boulevard, and I'm going to bring, you know, a cat to bring you some food every morning and every evening. Now, how many folks going out here to quit their job? I'm going to tell you, there's probably not going to be very many of us. Can we talk? That sounds crazy. I said, that sounds crazy. This is in essence what God just told Elijah. He's like, now I want you to get up out of here. I want you to get out of this realm here where you're actually being taken care of because of what you said, you don't realize your life is in danger now. He says, so I want you to go to this particular brook. And when you get there, don't worry about it. I'm going to have some birds bring you some food in the morning and in the evening. Food and drink. Come on now, this is crazy. But Elijah obeys. So watch this. Movement knows how to embrace the new. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, being catered to by ravens in the morning and the evening was not a normal human experience at all. But Elijah understood how to embrace the new because that's what movement requires. He trusts his good, good father. So even though this doesn't really make sense to me, I can trust the source. If I can trust the source, I can trust the message. And now I'm just simply going to go ahead and step with God. That's exactly what he does. Verse 8, it says this. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So now the brook dries up where God tells Elijah to go, where the ravens are taking care of him. The brook dries up. Now, you know, there's a whole lot of religious people that would have held a fast and a convocation service right there at that brook, demanding that the brook flows again. This is where God told me to come, and I'm not moving off this brook. Come on, I was raised here at this brook, and this is exactly where I'm going to die. And you're right, you're about to die there. Because you don't know how to move. The brook dries up. Elijah's still listening. And then God says, now I want you to get up. I want you to go into this particular village. And watch this. And if you thought you got a kick out of ravens taking care of you, now I'm going to have a widow woman taking care of you. Now listen. Self-respecting men, we got an issue with that. I thought I got an amen from the men in the house. I guess not. I said self-respecting men, we got an issue with that. Sitting back and, you know, and some a widow woman. Come on now. Her husband has passed. She's obviously now kind of dealing with some financial challenges. And now I'm going to put my grown self there for her to take care of me. Come on. A self-respecting man has an issue with that. So God is like, okay, so you got to kick out of the ravens. Now I got a new situation for you. Got to move, though. Movement, here's something you got to catch. Movement is a lifestyle philosophy. It's not this religious goal or event. It's now just how you process and think. It's the whole mindset about change. You know what the one constant is with change? Change. See, the one constant with movement, it's more movement. You got to keep moving. You can't stay where you are. That's not where God's called you to be. He may have called you there, but now he wants to move you from there. Movement stretches our thinking past its customary limits. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this had to challenge Elijah's thinking. A Jewish man at that particular time, and you're saying a widow woman is going to take care of me, that was completely against their customs. Oh, no, that did not happen. But Elijah is embracing what God says. Again, I trust the source, and therefore I trust the message. And so even though I can't see it or maybe don't even agree with it, I'm going to move with God. So Elijah does. He goes ahead. He goes there, you know, to this village. He encounters that particular woman. When he first encounters her, he's just like, hey, would you go get me a little, you know, water or something, you know, so that I can get a little something to drink. And she's going to go get it. And then, you know, he's also like, hey, if you can, you know, kind of put together a little cake or something for me too, you know, that'll be good. And the woman's like, that's a little tougher because I really only have a cake. I got a little bit of meal left. I just got a little stuff left. And I'm just preparing this for me and my son to die. And then Elijah has the audacity. So, okay, but still, go make something for me first. Now, you know, and I know, 98% of Americans would have left that church. Like, I'm getting away from Elijah, I tell you that right now. Can you believe the audacity? But see, Elijah listened to God. Elijah listened to God. And here's the thing you got to understand. Sometimes listening to God, it's not going to make sense to everybody around you. It's not. You don't have to be courageous enough to say, wait a minute, let me make sure that I'm accurately hearing God. Because watch this. If what you're hearing from God, if it really is from God, it will stand up against, you know, kind of judgment and scrutiny. Meaning that you can submit it to others, you know, that's in your life, you know, to kind of help you, you know, see, hey, is this really from God? This is what I'm thinking God is telling me to do. It'll stand up against that. Yeah. In chapter 17, verse 13. says, but Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Oh, no, he didn't. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. What do you mean, what's left? Negro, I told you we ain't have nothing. That's how some people would have responded. But this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. Oh, I love that. So she did. Someone say she did. As Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always, always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Oh, let's look at some other points here. Movement faces feelings of fear with the force of faith in God's word. This is how movement faces fear. It doesn't mean that you won't have feelings of fear and apprehension, but movement faces those fears with the force of faith in what God says. And that's why you see Elijah saying, for this is what the Lord said. I get it. This is what you're dealing with, but this is what the Lord says. So just because you're dealing with something, just because you're afraid of something because of what you're dealing with, remember what the Lord said. So you can go make me a cake first. And she did it. She did it. That's amazing. Which brings us to the next point. Movement is always connected with God's mission. It's always connected with God's mission, meaning multiplying his presence and his glory throughout the earth. Always connected. The movement God prompts of us is always connected, watch this, to someone else's deliverance, someone else's fulfillment, someone else's freedom. The movement that God prompts. See, the movement, listen, the movement is not for you. See, we always want everything to center around us. It doesn't. It centers around God. So God is instructing you to move. Yeah, you will be a beneficiary of that movement, but God is up to something bigger than just you. God's got millions and billions of other people on his mind. And he's trying to work some stuff out to be able to watch us get a twofer. You know what a twofer is? A twofer, watch this, is when you do something one time, but you get a double, you know, kind of benefit back from it. Two for one. Come on now, BOGO. I like Publix. All right, there we go. Movement. On the other side, let me say this. On the other side of our obedience is the opportunity for others to experience Christ-like transformation. On the other side of our obedience, on the other side of our movement. Movement was required by the widow to connect to the provision. See, Elijah had to move, but she had to move too. If she hadn't moved, you know what would have happened? I'm going to give you what I really believe what would have happened. God would have moved him on to another woman or another situation to get a twofer from. It's like, she not going to listen? Let's go on. Let me move you on down the road, son. Because God's not forcing. God didn't force Elijah, and God wasn't forcing this widow. She listened, this widow woman, she listened to God through Elijah. Remember, we talked about movement now is this obedience to instruction. And instruction comes explicitly through God's word, subtly by his spirit, but then representatively from his messengers. She listened to God through Elijah. Come on, let's put it in plain sense. She didn't hear this from God herself. She heard it from God once she heard Elijah. And she then yields to it. This right here is the classic example of what we've called for many years divine appointments. Divine appointments are the result of divine movement by two independent parties who choose in the same moment to depend upon God's word. God tells Elijah, leave this brook right here, right now. Go now to this village. I got someone there that will take care of you. God knew her heart. He encounters her, and in the encounter, there's a challenge to her faith. That's why she speaks up, if you read the whole context, and she's just like, yeah, you want me to go get you some bread, but man, I ain't got no cake, you know, bread, because we broke. And Elijah's like, yeah, just go ahead. I understand all that, but go ahead and do this. Make that for me first, and then, because the Lord has said. Elijah moves with God. This woman is sitting in a place where she and her son are about to die, but rather than choosing fear, rather than just giving up, she decides, I'm going to move with God. Based upon what she heard the representative, the messenger, say. And now as a result, we have a divine appointment. We got a twofer, ladies and gentlemen. We got Elijah being taken care of, because watch this, he was hungry. And now the woman, really, we got a threefer going on, because the little boy is a beneficiary in all of this. Come on now, God's movement is always about his mission. He's always trying to extend to others his goodness and his glory. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. That's from the perspective of a faithful follower of God, Elijah. But I want to also look at movement, you know, from the perspective of someone that has really little to no background with God. Someone who maybe acknowledges his existence, but never really learned to engage God. There's an individual in 2 Kings that we're going to look at. We've commonly probably referred to him and called him Naaman. But really, yeah, the probably proper or closer pronunciation of his name, you know, from Hebrew is Naaman. Everyone say Naaman. Naaman. So let's look at the story about Naaman. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. Interesting. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. So Naaman told the king what the young girl from Israel had said. Go and visit the prophet, the king of Aram told him. So now you keep reading, you'll really get, you know, the full context of things. But here's the first point that I need for you to understand about how to move with God. Movement requires sensitivity to God's voice from any source. Movement requires sensitivity to God's voice from any source. So we just can't have it. We can't just simply be like, well, I have my favorite preachers or something of that nature that I'll listen to. But, you know, other than that, you know, wait a minute. Praise God, you got your favorite preachers or whomever. But if you're going to really effectively move with God, you got to have a sensitivity to God's voice from any source. And what you see that kicks everything off with Naaman and what you will see his eventual healing is the fact that he chose to listen to an Israeli slave girl. He's following God's instruction. He's following God's voice. He's following God's word that's coming through this Israeli slave girl. We were talking about in our whole dream team, you know, huddle, you know, earlier today about the importance of, you know, treating everyone with reverence, because you just never know when you may be entertaining angels. You know, a lot of times we want to treat this person or that person because they have a title or whatever the case, the position, and we want to treat them, you know, with respect and honor, but someone else that we don't know is just like, whatever. That's not the kingdom. Not the kingdom at all. Movement requires sensitivity to God's voice from any source. The king of Aram told Naaman to go ahead and go. And then verse 9, we drop down. we see that he gets there and says, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and waited at the door of Elisha's house. By the way, Elisha was Elijah's understudy. He learned things from Elijah. But Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Then your skin will be restored and you will be healed of your leprosy. But Naaman became angry and stalked away. I thought he would certainly come out to meet me, he said. I expected him to wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God and heal me. Huh. Pretty interesting. Catch this. Movement is a prideless act. Your pride and mine will keep you from moving with God. It's a prideless act. Naaman showed up to see the prophet who, watch this, was to speak for God. So let's put it in these terms. He showed up to encounter the messenger of God. But instead, Naaman encountered the messenger of the messenger. I mean, you gotta think that maybe he's feeling like, man, I'm getting further away from God. Why can't I just go talk to God myself? I was coming to talk to the prophet because my little slave girl said, you know, you should go see the prophet. So I come to see the prophet, and then I don't even see the prophet, I see the messenger of the prophet. Like, man, what is going on? Don't people know who I am? I'm a captain, I'm significant. Movement demands that your feelings stay subservient to your faith. Movement demands that your feelings stay subservient to your faith. I like one of the definitions of the word subservient. It has this connotation of meaning usefully inferior. See, your feelings are subservient to your faith. They're inferior to your faith, but they have some use. They have some use. You're making your feelings submissive to your faith. Whenever you give in to your feelings, you immediately exit out of faith. The moment you do it, come on, we've been there. Come on, I said we. I ain't say you, I said we. We have been there. Where we've entered over into our feelings. And the moment we entered over into our feelings, we exited right out of faith. But movement demands that we keep our feelings subservient to our faith. Think about what Naaman was doing here. He listened to the slave girl. If you read the whole context of the story, you'll see that he listened to two kings. And to some degree, he was even listening to Elijah's servant that came out. But he didn't like the message. He didn't like the message. He thought the message should be a little different. But let's look at this. Let's dig into that a little bit further. Are you still here? But his officers tried to reason with him. And this translation makes it nice. It says his officers. They were his servants. It says, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply go and wash and be cured. So Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him. And his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. Oh boy, we could go a lot of places, but I'm gonna take you one. Movement values the message above one's perception of the messenger. Movement values the message above one's perception of the messenger. God is never obligated to speak in ways to which we agree. And I will have news for you. A huge reason of why Naaman was missing his manifestation of healing is because of how he thought. So God is trying to elevate his thinking. God is challenging his thinking so that he can bring him over into what he actually desired, and that was healing. And fortunately for Naaman, he submits to the message, even though maybe his perception of the messenger was not all of that great. Not the perception of Elisha. It was that other dude that came out. Come on, let's talk in this place. It was that other cat. Just like, man, are you for real? No. Here's where I'm going to try to wrap up. Naaman did as the man of God instructed, but he never saw or spoke to Elisha until after he was healed. You keep reading, you'll see that they do have a conversation then. But up to this point, he never saw or spoke to Elisha. This is amazing. Never saw him, never spoke to him. Obviously, in reality, what Naaman did was follow God's instruction. But he never really directly encountered God, and he didn't even encounter Elisha. But by yielding to the word from God, the message from God, he steps into the revelation and the truth and the realities of God, and he's healed. That's interesting. Naaman's connection with God comes through his receiving a message from men and women. Come on, slave girl, servants, kings, assistant pastors, ministers, all of that. But he honored the message from God. And he confirmed that he honored it by obeying the message he received. So he goes down into the water. Goes down into it. And it was a humbling experience. You better know it was a humbling experience for him. He's like, I'm Naaman. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done, you know, in my country? And this is what you want me to do? And remember, he had a disdain for the water. This old filthy water. You could at least have me go to such and such or such and such. You got me in this little dirty river. But he does it. And as a result, he walks in healing. See, because movement is a prideless act. But I love the fact here that he engages with all this without ever really having any kind of direct connection with God, nor even the what we would call the lead representative of God. See, this thing is not built upon titles and stuff and positions. What's more important than all the titles, all the positions, is God's word. And Paul understood that, the Apostle Paul. He conveys the principle that we've just seen here. He explains it as he's talking to the church at Thessalonica. And this is what he says to them over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, listen, for we speak as messengers approved by God. See, we're messengers. To be entrusted with the good news, that's the gospel. Our purpose is to please God, not people. Come on, I need to say that again. Our purpose is to please God, not people. And that's why I've shared for you. It's like, listen, God didn't call me to, you know, to a popularity contest. That's not what God calls me to. God didn't call me. Listen, watch this. Catch it from right here. God didn't call me to please people. God called me to please him. Now, I've come to recognize in pleasing God, it brings fulfillment to people. If people will listen. Don't forget that part. It's a divine appointment. You got to listen on the other side. You got to listen to the message. Even if you don't like the messenger. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Okay. Paul wasn't finished. He goes and you drop down to verse 13. He says this. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, You didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. Do you hear what Paul just said here? He says, he's applauding them. He says, you received the message that we gave, but you didn't receive it just like, you know, this is just one man's idea. That's just that preacher's idea. This is that preacher's interpretation. No. He says, y'all didn't receive it that way. He says, you accepted what we said as the very word of God. It says, and it is. They learned how to receive and, watch this, obey instruction that was coming representatively from the messengers. Now, let's balance that out. Does that mean that, well, you know, you and I are supposed to do everything, you know, pastor, preacher, bishop, you know, doctor, reverend, whoever, you know, says? That's not what I'm, you know, saying here. I'm saying learn how to give a reverence to the message regardless of what you think of the messenger. And you're having conversation and, you know, individuals were talking and I'm making a comment. It's like, you know, pastors can be wrong too. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've been wrong a bunch of times. And so have you. So don't look at me like that. But that does not now give you or me the latitude to be like, well, I don't have to listen. No, that's not what that does. There's still this sense of expectation that you learn how to give credence to the message. And watch this, and respect and honor for the messenger. Yes. So we end right here with these thoughts. How do you view your pastors, your ministers, your leaders? How do you view them? Come on, how do you view your coordinator, your coach, your captain, who is speaking for God to you? Or that's just someone's opinion. That's just man's ideas. What value do you place on their voice? Is their voice of no more significance to you than that of your barber, hairstylist, co-worker, or friend? Naaman walked into something, even though he didn't have a background with God, because he learned how to listen. Even though the people that were really speaking to him were quote unquote under him. Slave girl, his own servants, some dude that came out the house I never met before. But he's listening. The message, I value the message, and therefore I have respect for the messengers. Even though I may not know you, even though I may feel like, you know, certain things, I trust God in this. There's this conviction here. Well, I trust a good Father. See, these are elements, and this is a core of kind of the church dynamic that the church has diminished in over the years. Some of it has been because of abuse. Can we just talk? Where we've had pastors, ministers, bishops, deacons, whatever the case, that try to control people. Well, that's not what God's called us to. God hadn't called me to control anybody. I remember years ago I had to kind of, you know, tell the church, and I guess some people didn't too much care for it. I said, I am not the sin police. People come telling on somebody else, you know, to me. Like, Pastor, Isaiah doing such and such. Just like, you got the wrong concept of church. I'm not the principal. I'm going to tell the principal. Oh, watch this. Let's do a family. I'm telling daddy. So you can get a whooping. Come on, I'm telling you, I've had it happen. And I still periodically will have it happen. Someone will call me, be like, I want to tell you about what such and such did to me. Like, okay. You don't understand how this thing functions. Why? We have a misunderstanding. We have an inappropriate revelation about how church functions, and then specifically how we value one another's voice. I've learned a very important lesson that God can speak to me through anybody. So I would do well to respect every voice. I may listen and recognize, okay, that's not a message from God. But see, when you don't have a sense of reverence for every voice, then you miss the messages that come. I hope this helped you. This is how we move with God. This is how we're going to move deeper with God, you know, later in this year. This is how we're going to move, you know, gloriously with God as we go into 20 years next year. Ooh. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, lift up two hands under heaven with me. Father, we thank you so much again. Our desire is to move with you. We recognize, even as the Apostle Paul stated, that our aim is not to please people, but it's to please you. But we know in pleasing you, we bring fulfillment to people. So help us to be courageous, sir, and not timid in following you and moving with you. Father, we repent of any old ideas and, you know, entrenchment where we just didn't want to move. Father, we break free from that. We say this is a brand new season, Daddy, where we live in faith and we're constantly, constantly, constantly moving with you. Father, help us to take what we've received on this day and to cultivate it, to spend time with it, and to let it saturate in us, Father, so that we can duplicate it in our lives to others. We love you. Give you praise for this now. In Jesus' name. If you agree with what you say, amen. 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 Praise God.